morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service this morning. It's good to see you here. I knew that we were going to have a whole lot of folks traveling, and some of you will be traveling this coming week, so it's just good to gather in the name of the Lord and to praise His name. We've had a long weekend. We had Tom Goff's memorial service yesterday, which Mary wanted, and the family wanted me to express again to the Well Church how much Tom loved this church. And some of the background story is, as you know, that was Tom's home church. He left, I think, a church where he was three generations had been attending that church. And it was largely because he loved you folks. And I'll be honest, I think he made a good decision. So he wanted me to let you know, or she wanted me to let you know how much Tom loved our congregation. So let's continue to keep Mary and Dabney and Betsy and the son-in-laws in our prayers. A couple of announcements. If you look on the back, the women's Bible study group that will begin the first Wednesday of August at Carolyn's house. We have the books in for that. They are on the table in the narthex. It'll be to your right as you leave the buffet, where they'll be studying the book of Philippians. So grab one of those books and join with the ladies. Also, we are still looking for someone who'd be willing to give Gail a break from doing the robocall. She's been doing it for about 3.5-4 years, and it's a helpful service. So if you get the calls and wouldn't mind transcribing them and send them out to the email, please let me know and we'll get you in there. Any other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
You have in here the men's study at our house. Dave forgot that on our calendar we're going to be out that evening, Wednesday, 28th.
Okay.
So,
well, I'll do some work from the. What are you doing Wednesday night, Webb?
Not sure if we're going to make this particular Wednesday. Mom's going to be in town at Uncle Tom's.
Oh, is she?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm making an executive decision. Men's group will not meet this week and will meet the following week. If that changes, I'll let you know. And we'll all start August the 4th. Thanks for letting me know, Rosemary. Any other announcements? All right. Prayer requests. Any prayer requests that you... Yes, sir.
I've got two. One, if we can keep my nephew Colin in prayer. Thursday, he goes off to, I think it's called Hallmark. And talking to Eddie last night, he said he's probably going to be gone at least 6 or 8 months, trying to get rehabilitated. And hopefully, off drugs, get his head in the right place. If we can keep him in prayer. And then something I was thinking about the other day, I'd hate to stand outside in this heat for a very long time wearing what I'm wearing, much less battling fires, wearing gear in 115 degrees. If we can keep all the fire tribes out west that are just relentless hours trying to put those fires out, if we can keep them in our prayers, that'd be great.
Amen. It's quite a mess. So let's keep all those first responders and firefighters in our prayers. As Webb is speaking, and you'll see Stephanie Garrett listed on the prayer list. Just shows how the Lord works. Stephanie and Bob Garrett lived in Florida. And several, I guess it was a year or so, maybe 2 years ago, they were in town. And they attended our church once or twice because they're friends of Webb. And Stephanie's been battling cancer, and it's in the fourth stage now. And they're beautiful Christian people, and she accepts it as well as could be accepted. And it's, anyway, they are now living in Lynchburg, and because their son lives here, and I got a call from hospice, and they wanted to know if they would send someone over that could visit with them. And they sent me, and when we walked in, we realized that we had met a couple of years prior through Webb. It was just, folks would say, we had church in their kitchen. And it was a wonderful couple hours. And it just shows how We are one in the body of Christ, and they did ask me. I'll be officiating whenever that time is. But until then, we want to lift up in prayer Bob and Stephanie Garrett in prayer. And then you'll see others that are listed. Are there other prayer requests? Yes, sir, David.
Can we say a prayer for our military, both active duty, guard, and reserve? Those folks are always in harm's way or potentially in harm's way.
We certainly will. I think for all of us, we were reminded of that yesterday when they did the military honors at the funeral. And I was telling Sherry afterwards, the most touching part of any funeral service to me, and I've done many, where they're military honors, is when the American Legion representative takes that folded flag and hands it to the widow or widower and says, on behalf of a grateful nation, because truly it is on behalf of us. And so thank you for that, David. Saw a hand here. Yes, ma'am.
Jean Blankenship, she fell this week, and she's just continuing to go there.
Let's keep Jean in our prayers. Anyone else? Any prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord. We thank you, our Father, for the goodness of this day, a day that you have made, a day in which we will rejoice and be glad. We thank you for your mercies, which are new every day. We thank you for your love, which is constant, your mercy that showers upon us. We awaken knowing that we serve a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers, so that we can rest, for you have accomplished all through Christ Jesus. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to help us as we strive to enter that rest, for the cares of the world seek to distract us. Those activities and multiple voices and points of idols that want to draw our attention away from the only thing, the true thing, the one truth, that is that you are the Lord. You are the Savior of the church, the King of the world. You are our precious Lord. And we thank you for that. May we focus upon you today in our worship. We thank you that you comfort us in all our needs so that we can comfort others. We pray that you'll draw close and continue to comfort the Goff family just as they have to go to really depart from one another now and go to quite distant places away from each other. We just pray that you will draw close to them and minister to them in their loneliness as they go to truly different corners of our country. And we just pray that you'll bless them. We pray that you'll be with Bob and Stephanie as she is making her final steps on this terrestrial globe, but we know that she will one day soon take that flight to her heavenly home. We pray that you'll just continue to make that transition peaceful and without pain, and be with the family that will lean upon their faith as they transition to a new type of relationship with their wife and their mother and grandmother. We pray that you'd be with Colin. I just pray that this fairly severe chapter will prove to be a changing point for him, that it'll be used to remind him of that there are consequences to our choices. And through this process, we pray that he would be led to make better choices, be with his parents, his brothers, just give comfort and strength to all. We pray that you would be with Jean Blankenship as she's continuing to progress with her decline. We thank you that in the fall of this past week that it could have been worse, and we thank you that you protected her in that. And we ask, finally, that your protection would be upon all those that serve us, those first responders, those firefighters in particular fighting the wildfires, those men and women on the front line that serve us often are criticized by us and often are not given the appreciation for the just the yeoman service that they provide. We also pray for those that are serving us around the world. We pray that you would give wisdom and protection, that you would draw close in their loneliness, wipe away the tears, uphold them in their fears, and may they find their only confidence in you. We thank you for this opportunity that we can gather as your body to do just that, to look upon you, to hear your word and your word alone. We pray that you would bless us as we gather to worship your holy name today, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You'll look with me to the insert. We'll use the first 9 verses of Psalm 136, calling each to worship before we stand and sing together, Jesus is coming again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever.
Who only does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever.
Who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters, for his mercy endures forever.
Who created great lights, for his mercy endures forever.
The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night, for his mercy endures forever.
Glorious day when we sing.
First lesson is from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth."
Air conditioned, so that we do not have the oppressive heat. To have hot and cold water on demand, to have enough food to eat and the ability to ride and comfort, to have family and friend and laughter, to have relative good health, to have peace. We are truly blessed people. As we pray often in that familiar table grace and the reception of our own blessings, make us ever mindful of the needs and wants of others. We lift up those who are struggling in body, mind, or estate. We pray that you would draw close, and during their difficult time, may they be reminded that your love for them is not conditioned or restricted by difficult conditions. But in the midst of darkness, you bring light. In the midst of sorrow, you bring joy. In the midst of that which seems to be death, you bring life, and that eternal. We thank you for all your blessings. But above all things, may we follow your Son's instruction when he said, "Rejoice rather above all things that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So above all, we thank you that you loved us, you sent Christ Jesus, that you forgave us, and that we are redeemed. And as your redeemed children, we're bold and grateful to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints that is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. yea, even our hearts and souls, we give unto you, Lord Christ.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 6, verses 45-56. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret, and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him, and ran about the whole region, and began to bring the sick people on their beds, wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and implored him, that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Bless me. Thank you, our Lord, for the freedom in this country to gather without persecution, freely and openly, to worship your name, to hear your word. It is precious in our hearing. Now may your spirit open our hearts and minds, make them acceptable unto you. May my words be used by your spirit to point to your word alone. We would see Jesus in his name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Most of you know, because I like to complain, that over the last 3 or 4 months, Sherry and I have had a lot of transition as we've moved from house to house. And as I reflect on that, I can't speak for her, but I would say that the most difficult part of that wasn't moving furniture 2 or 3 different times until it's in the right spot, or hanging pictures, or even moving heavy boxes of books. If you've ever moved from one house to the other, and you have a temperament like me, you will agree with me that the most difficult thing is dealing with the people and computers in trying to transition your services. Have any of you yelled at computers on the phone, thinking that your level of screaming or frustration may get that computer to be more attentive? And if you're like me, sometimes after trying to get something that should be simply done, but is frustratingly done, often you may ask, but you may have never done this, "Can I speak to who's in charge?" Now I have a more subtle, somewhat polite, but maybe passive aggressive way. My line, and you can steal it if you'd like, is, "Do you have the authority to do this, or do I need to speak to someone else?" So you can use that. But we want to know who's in charge, because we don't want to waste our time unless we're talking to someone who can fix our problem. Have you ever asked that about life? The circumstances that we go through. Who's in charge? Now we confess liturgically at the beginning and at the end that we know who is in charge. In our opening confession, we say, or I say, and you agree, that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. At the end in the Apostles' Creed, we confess that he is the one seated at the right hand of God, and he will come again to judge the quick and the dead. But still, in life and in practice, we often wonder, who's in charge? Mark 6 speaks to this. Mark 6 is such a wonderful passage. And, you know, what I normally try to do in preaching expositionally is to try to look at the text and draw those truths and arrange them in a summary form, sort of a cliff note. But there's so much here that what I'd ask you to do is look with me to Mark 6, either on your insert or on your scripture if you brought it. Let's walk our way through it. It's so much here. And then I'll offer a couple takeaways at the end that maybe will help our reflecting on this. But if you'll look with me in Mark 6, verse 45. And we'll see the very first word is immediately. As you know from our trek through Mark, he loves this word. And it means forthright or without any delay. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. So we have to ask, why? What followed or what preceded this that Jesus immediately did? And we look back and we see in the pericope before the one that Jen read, the feeding of the 5,000. Both Matthew, Mark, and John have the exact same order. Jesus feeds the 5,000, and then he immediately gets away. And you say, well, why would he do that? Shouldn't he capitalize on that? I mean, we're taught that when you get everybody's attention, that's when you need to strike because the iron is hot. I mean, if I did something that amazing of feeding roughly, if you count women and children with that five, probably 10 to 15,000 people, and I was able to demonstrate not only the ability to take a little Long John Silver's meal and multiply it so that everyone was not only filled, the Greek word for filled there means basically they were glutted. They were not only got enough to survive, they ate until they couldn't eat any more. And he still gathered 12 baskets. And then on top of that, the logistics of having 12 men, who we're usually not very good with serving and things, to have 12 men be able to distribute this to 12 to 15,000 people. After that event, any smart leader of people would have capitalized on that, wouldn't he? He would have established and said, now I'm here to rule. You see what I can do? Now here's what we're gonna do. But Jesus' timing is not our timing. And Jesus, in each of the accounts of the feeding of the 5,000, immediately went away. And I think he did it in a couple reasons. One is his timing is his timing. His timing is not predicted by us, and that his return will not be, and how he works in life is not be. But I also think he did it because he didn't want us to follow him because he was the success king. He didn't want us to follow him simply because, like we hear from too many preachers on TV, that if we follow him, all our bills will be paid and all our health issues will evaporate and we'll just have more and more, sweet by and pie in the sky and everything else. And he did not want his kingdom to be identified with this. So immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. Again, he didn't capitalize. He sent them away. After he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. In Mark and in Matthew especially, mountains are where there are special encounters with God. We see in Mark, he commissioned his apostles on a mountain. The Transfiguration was on a mountain. He had his Olivet Discourse the night before he was betrayed on a mountain. He had the agony of prayer in the garden on a mountain. So he went up to a mountain to pray. So he went away from the disciples and he went and had an all-night prayer meeting. Verse 47. And when the evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he alone was on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So let me paint the picture. If you've ever been there, The Sea of Galilee is not very large at all. At its widest point, it's about 7 miles wide. John tells us in his telling of this story that they were exactly halfway across. That point where you've got a long way to go and you're too far to go back. And the first question you've got to ask is, why aren't they using their sails? Why are they rowing? I don't know much nautically, but I think it's easier to let the wind do the work than to row. But what we see in the scripture is the wind was against them. They were going against the wind, and they had for about 8 hours been rowing. I don't know if you've ever rowed for 8 hours. One time I was out on my boat and my motor went out and I rowed for 45 minutes and you would have thought I was the martyr of the year. And 8 hours they are rowing against the wind. And Jesus is watching them. He's watching them. And then he takes a walk. And he takes a walk, and when they see it, he's picking up again. It says, and he meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the water, or walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. At that point, their fear of the presence of God overtook their fear of the waves. There's nothing more fearful than the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. He has power over all things. He has power over the water. They were terrified. But immediately, he spoke to them and said, and I encourage you to hear this, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. We think of these disciples, and we think, not too many hours earlier, he had just multiplied the bread, multiplied the fish. They saw his great power. How dare them forget that? And now they worry all over again. Wouldn't it be great if those original disciples were like us? And when we see God take us through one thing, we're good to go and we never worry again, do we? We never doubt again because we remember that God worked for us. So now we don't have to worry whenever we have trials. It'd be nice if it was that way, but we're like the disciples. Let me point out a couple things before we leave the text. The interesting thing here is he spoke before he got in the boat. He spoke before he got in the boat. And the center of his message is what the center of our message should be. I love this phrase. It's so simple. It is I. It's that great, and you, excuse me, you may have heard it, that ego, I me. It is I. Does that remind you of something from the Old Testament? Do you remember when Moses was on holy ground at the burning bush and he asked God, what is your name? And God said, it's me. I am. It could be I is. It isness. I am. And this is what Jesus is saying. It is I. But on both sides of that is that wonderful comfort he gives. Take heart, do not be afraid. Take heart, do not be afraid. What can we take from this? Well, let me just suggest a couple lessons that we can learn. The overall teaching here is that God is in charge. He is our governor. There's a little phrase that I didn't highlight when I was reading it, and most of the modern commentators that I read the past week got it wrong, because we sort of read scripture thinking, what does it tell me about me? But Jesus said that the scriptures are written of what they speak of him. We are to read the scripture the way we are to live our lives, and that's Christologically. He is to be the center. And if we look and say, how did the early church interpret this? they interpreted different. See that little phrase, meant to pass them by? Most of the modern commentators say it's Jesus sort of playing a joke. You know, he wants to let the disciples think that he's going to just keep on walking, and that he's being humorous, that they're struggling and here he is walking by. And some commentators also made a point of saying, aren't there times in your life that you feel like Jesus has walked on by and things? Well, if you allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, which is the only safe way to interpret Scripture, if you allow Scripture to interpret Scripture and you look that phrase in the Old Testament, pass them by, you'll see that there's a significant point in the life of Moses in Exodus 34 where it's told that God passed him by. There's also, if you look, a significant point in 1 Kings 19 where Elijah is that same phrase says, and God walked past or walked on by. Have you heard of Moses and Elijah being anywhere else paired in the Gospels? Maybe at the Transfiguration? Maybe where Moses and Elijah and Jesus and Peter's rebuke because he wants to make three tabernacles to honor him, and the truth is only one of those should be honored, and that Jesus Christ is the authority, the king, above Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. That's what that phrase means. So this whole passage is to say that God Almighty wrote your story. He's the author. So he is the one that created you. He is the one that's controlling your life. And he is the one that'll bring it to consummation. But let's see if I can make a couple practical thoughts on this. The first thing I would say to you, if you're in a storm, he knows about it. Somewhat comforting to know that they were rowing as professional sailors and fishermen. They were men that knew how to work the boat. They'd been here before. But he watched them. He knows about it. And this is important because, as I tried to point out when we talked about suffering, if you're going through a storm, you're not out of God's will. There are some who would teach you that if you are going through difficulties, you are going through trials, there must be some sin in your life. There's some that would tell you that if you're in the center of God's will, you're going to have peaches and cream and everything's going to be great. But who told these disciples to take this trip anyway? Jesus did. He made them get in a boat. It gives us a new perspective on our storm if in the middle of it, we not only know that he's aware of it, but he put us here. He didn't throw us out to drown. He put us there, and he knows about it. He made them get into the boat. He saw their struggling. And the other thing that I don't like and I don't understand, but it's the truth, he let them struggle for a while. He could have come in at any time, couldn't he have? Why did he wait 8 hours? Why didn't he come in before the blisters? Why didn't he come in before the sore muscles? Why didn't he come in before they probably threw down their oars and said, this is useless, I quit? Why didn't he come in sooner? I don't know. I don't know why he hasn't intervened in things I've prayed about sooner. I don't know why some people I know and love struggle longer than I. It's like, God, why are you letting this go? But what we know from the Word is, even though we don't know why, we know that. And one of the things I might suggest is maybe there's some lessons that we learn in the storm that we can't learn anywhere else. Lessons of trust. There's an old adage in sailor terms that a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. And if you've stayed in port all the time, if you've had smooth sailing all the time, you probably don't know that you can get through it with God's enablement. You probably don't know the protection of God, the rescue of God. If everything's always gone rosy for you, you probably don't have that level of dependence than if you've been places where you just knew you couldn't do it anymore. In the midst of that, we need to know that when we're going through a storm, He knows it. And He cares. Second thing I get from this is that true peace, this was really important in my thinking this past week by the Spirit. True peace comes not from the ship being removed from the storm, but true peace comes from the great I Am being in the boat, which is exactly opposite of how I think. I think I'll have peace as soon as I get the storm, quiet. Sometimes I identify it to one person. If I can just get that one person to shut up or be quiet or to talk to someone else or take their problem somewhere else, I'll have peace. If I can just get the government to act right. If I could start with just the drivers on Timberlake Road. If I could get my extended family. If I get my immediate family, if I get outside calm, I'm going to have peace. And the truth we see here is that peace doesn't come from the ship being removed from the storm, but from the great I Am getting inside the ship. Remember I pointed out when we looked at the scripture that waters weren't stilled when Jesus spoke. Go back and read it again if you don't believe me. He spoke, but the waters didn't still until what? He got into the boat. Theologians point out, and I try to point out when it comes to word and sacrament, that when the word is delivered, when the sacraments are presented, it's valid. It's true and absolutely true and forever settled in the heavens. It is valid. But until it gets in your boat, until you believe it, until with faith you add faith to that, it has no benefit to you. See, if he had stayed outside the boat and simply said, "It is I," that's still true, right? But the waters were still raging. See, peace comes from bringing him into the boat. I want to read you a devotion that I read a couple days ago that just fits so nicely with the sermon. Give ear to this. This is really good. I've read it several times. O Lord, our Lord, grant us that wonderful inward peace, and spoken as if God is speaking to us. My children, that peace does truly pass all understanding. That peace no one can take from you. No one has the power to disturb that peace. But you yourselves can let the world and its worries and its distractions in. You can give the entrance to fears and despondency. You can open the door to the robber who breaks in upon and destroys your peace. Set yourself this task to allow nothing to disturb your peace with me. Stop all work. Stop all intercourse with others until this is restored. Do not let those about you spoil your peace of heart and mind. Do not let anyone without any trouble, any irritation, any adversity, disturb it for one moment. Don't let it in. Look on each difficulty as a training to enable you to see His peace, my peace, in you. Meet me and let me hide you in the secret place of the Father. See, this is the truth. It doesn't matter what type of storm the ship is in. What matters is if we allow the storm into the ship. I brought a prop. I make fun of props, but I brought a prop. And you've heard of edible arrangements. This is a drinkable prop. I have two plastic bottles. One is full of water. Right? One is full of Dr. Pepper. I could vigorously shake both of these. I could even shake this one harder. And I could hand this to Sherry, and would you open it? Yes, and you would know in opening, no matter how vigorously I shook it, it's not going to erupt, is it? I could shake this one a little less vigorously. And I could hand it to Jen. Is she going to open it? The Henrys hope not. Brothers and sisters, this is simple and stupid, but it's the truth. It doesn't matter of the shaking on the outside. It matters if the great I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is on the inside. And let me give you one more as we close. And that is, because this is where the rubber meets the road, we must learn to praise while still in the storm. We can't wait. As soon as he got in the boat, they were praising him. In Matthew's account of this story, if you remember, before he got in the boat, there was a little side incident that happened. Remember what happened that Matthew includes? Peter jumping out of the water and going. Now, let me remind you, Peter is the one who gave Mark most of his information. So Peter telling Mark to write this and giving him his direction, either he was too humble and he didn't want people to know that I had walked on water, or maybe he didn't want them to know he started to sink. But for whatever reason, it's not in here. But they recognized him and praised him as God before he got in while the storm was still going. And brothers and sisters, if we wait until the storm-free days to praise, we're not going to praise very much. We have to learn to praise within the storm. I want to close with a contemporary song. And, you know, for me, contemporary Christian music is usually the 8th or 9th century, so I don't listen to a whole lot of modern music. But if I had written one, I wish I had written this one. And you know it. And I'm going to read it, and we're going to close with this. It's by a group called Casting Crowns. And it's simply titled, Praise Him in the Storm. And maybe as I read these words, as Luther said, a hymn is just a prayer with rhythm. Use this as a prayer, and maybe you can identify a time in your life where you were in a storm. Maybe it's right now. Just listen as I give ear. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. And once again, I say, Amen. And it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm. And I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry, you raised me up again. But again, my strength is almost gone, and how can I carry on if I can't find you? So I'll lift my eyes unto the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I'll praise you in the storm. And I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together. Using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We bow our knees before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. We pray, thank and praise you, for in Christ you have compassion on our scarcity and turned it into your abundance. You call us to bring to you the needs and fruits of your people and your world. You commission us as your Son's disciples to distribute the blessings of his grace and the benefits of his passion. He took our human nature in order to bless in his incarnation and ministry. He was broken on the cross in order that your everlasting life might be shared through resurrection. And so we gladly render to you the praise of your glory, joining the company of heaven in the everlasting song.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Revealing God, in your Son you fed the multitudes and showed your power to turn the waters of our existence into the wine of eternal life with you. Strengthen your people through the Holy Spirit, that they might be rooted and grounded in love. As your Son held the loaves and through them made his glory known, send down your Holy Spirit on this bread and on this wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Glorious God, in Christ you disclose the breadth and length and height and depth of a love that surpasses knowledge. You come toward us across the rough sea of our anxiety and in the nighttime of our fear, and counsel us not to be afraid. Walk alongside any who experience deep hunger and know not where to turn. Bless those who have been deeply betrayed and who live with the consequences of another's ruthlessness or conspiring. Stretch out your hand to all who search for someone to trust. To you, who by the power at work within us are able to accomplish abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. To you be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and ever. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You think of the Transfiguration. And one way of looking at it is, not only was it when Jesus' glory was revealed in its entirety,
Another way of looking at it is maybe it was more of a miracle that he could keep it concealed all the other times. For he was always the fullness of the Godhead bodily found. He is the great I Am. So when he multiplied the bread, we should understand that as the bread of life, he has power to do such that. As he walked upon the water, as the living waters that flow, he has control over all things. And as he calls us to hear and to receive him in word and sacrament, we should, through the power of the Holy Spirit, accept that word. For truly this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ given to us. So as a minister of the gospel, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth to come forth and to receive his very body, his very blood, for the nourishment of our souls. We practice by intinction. I will give you a piece of the bread. You dip it into the chalice. Then come forward, spend time here praying, and then circle back around to your pew. Make this a time where we come and receive him and him alone. Amen. Thank you.
Our gracious God, thank you for giving us yourself. For in you we live and move and have our being. And in you we will remain through all eternity. Our Creator God, our atoning Son, our sustaining Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, given for us, and we give you praise. Amen. Let us stand together and sing our closing hymns. Is over. Go in peace to serve the Lord.